From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They've left the field railing behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12.
What a horse race. These two nose and nose to the wire. Beholder on the inside. Stella Wind on the outer. Stella Wind's going to beat her.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
The Betfair.com Haskell has turned into a thriller. An Exaggerator has gone right on by. A tremendous performance from Exaggerator under Ken DeSormo to win it by two.
Oh, my goodness. Look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, back with you once again in our Lexington studios, but we're not going to be here much longer. We are here for the next couple of hours, and then tomorrow morning, head on over to the Great Race Place in Arcadia, California, to get you ready for all that Breeders' Cup coverage, which begins on Tuesday morning here on the network. And in case you're wondering, yeah, 6 days, 6 hours, 23 minutes, and 27 seconds away from that 33rd Breeders' Cup World Championships. And boy, is it going to be a good one. Pre-entries announced this past Wednesday. And Jude, you take a look at the entries. I mean, so many of these fields oversubscribed, so many loaded with quality as we see each and every year. But this is a year that features 11 returning or former Breeders' Cup champions. How about that?
Yeah, it's a very solid group of horses, and it looks like it's going to be kind of chalky. I wouldn't get too far off the beaten
path. Have you
already
started all your handicapping?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with all the pre-entry information?
Yeah, the first PPs that were printed, I started.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I can remember growing up, you know, back in Massachusetts, and the minute that they would announce the pre-entries, I would go the very next day, and I would get my racing form, and I would start looking through and handicapping them. Of course, now with everything we're doing on the network side of things, I don't have that luxury to be able to sit down and go through everything early. But let me tell you, I scanned through some of those races as we were, you know, kind of preparing for this show and looking ahead to next week, and it is I don't know. I thought some of them were pretty difficult, and that's what you usually get. You get good horses at big prices in the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, no question about it. I think the, you know, the classic, you know, pretty much boils down to two horses, but you know, there's a lot of quality here. The distaff pretty much boils down to three. So
on paper,
well, they're all on paper,
right? Well, that's what, yeah, I'm saying. They don't run the race on paper, right? And we know crazy things can happen.
Yeah,
in,
well,
a race like the Breeders' Cup. I mean, just look back to Archon.
You know, when you have three horses, like, yeah, Archon. When you have
he's
three,
99-1. When he was like 130-1 actually, but the top board only goes to 99.
He should have been, yeah, he should have been. When you look at a race like the Distaff, let's say, and you've got Songbird and Stellar Wind and Beholder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can make a case for Songbird, right? She looks very, very tough.
Facing older horses for the first time,
right?
Question mark.
Right, question mark. But
good older horses.
You know, but what do you do with the horses underneath those three? I mean, one miracle, if you had to beat one horse, a miracle could happen. But if you have to beat three, it's very unlikely that a miracle would happen.
Right, very tough.
Very unlikely.
So, very
difficult. You know, I mean, that's what you're looking at. When you look at the classic, you got California Chrome and Airgate. They're far superior to the rest of the field. Far superior.
Yeah. So, all right. So, there's another example. Arrowgate, brilliant in winning the Travers Stakes, right? It runs it in under 2 minutes. You and I were there. We broadcast the race on the network, and we looked at each other afterwards and just said, you know, what the heck was that? Because that was a tremendous effort. If Arrowgate runs back to that Travers performance, they all better have their running shoes on, including California Chrome. But if he runs back to that race, does he win the classic going away?
No.
He doesn't?
No. I think California Chrome can run with him.
Can run that type of race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he can. But, you know, to have somebody like, well, let's use Melatonin, his home track, right? Training great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Can he beat one? Yes. Can he beat two? Probably not.
Pushing it, right.
You know, so I think that's kind of the way the Breeders' Cup's looking this year, which is very unusual, you know. Even the sprint is a short, the dirt sprint,
yeah.
Short field, you know, and I've had several people tell me that they think Wayne Hughes' horse is a cinch.
But, Lord Nelson.
Yeah, Lord Nelson. Yeah. But I don't, you know, I don't know. Is he a cinch? Maybe he is. He's running great. But, you know, there's a couple other horses in there that you could make a case for.
I thought Aidan O'Brien, who is always prominent in the Breeders' Cup, who brings over several horses, by the way, I thought he looked very tough with his contenders and some of those turf races. I can certainly see the Euros, you know, taking home a couple of those trophies across the pond.
Oh yeah, no kidding. And you know, they're coming in droves. There's quite a few. So
yeah,
you know, that was what when I started handicapping. That was the first thing I did, was go to the Racing Post and check out all the Racing Post ratings on the horses and try to get a line on who they were and what they were doing. So.
Yeah. How about Teppan? We're going to see her back to defend her title, right, in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Then you have Found, who's going to be back as the defending champion in the Breeders' Cup Turf. Both of those outstanding female contenders. It almost seems like, in some respects, the females overshadow the boys in this year's Breeders' Cup, maybe with the exception of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, Found's supposedly going to run in the Classic.
So oh, she's going to go to the Classic. Okay.
That's what I understand. Pretty sure she's running in the Classic.
Yeah, I hate that decision, by the way, if that's the case.
Well, she has no chance.
Right, not in that race, no.
No.
No. Why not go to the Turf?
Well, I mean, you know, preaching to the choir, but
right.
But I, you know, I mean, who knows? And Teppan, you know, a lot of people... Oh, Teppan got beat. You know, that race that Photo Call ran, I don't know where that came from, and it's probably not going to be repeated. So I'm not worried about.
Yeah, Teppan. You're not worried about Teppan if you're a Teppan fan. She's just fine.
Even if you're a handicapper, I don't think you're going to. I mean, she came home fast. That was just a weird. That whole race was weird, and that happens once in a while.
Yep. Yep. All right. Here's our poll question for this morning, and you can weigh in at HRRN. On Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, if you want to weigh in that way as well. But we want to hear from you. We want to know, which of the 13 Breeders' Cup divisions are you most excited about? Which race? There are 13 championship races next Friday and Saturday. Which race is the one you're looking forward to most? Let's put it that way. Which race are you looking forward to most? And I would assume that the Distaff and the Classic are going to get a lot of votes because of the fact that you do have the star power that we talked about in those races. But, you know, you throw in the Mile, you throw in the Turf, you throw in the Sprint. I mean, so many. And even the Juvenile races, which we haven't even begun to touch on yet. We're going to do that as we move throughout the program this morning. As a matter of fact, we're going to be joined right around 8:35 Eastern by Dan Mason, who is the newest HRN analyst among our group, but he also works with NBC Sports Radio throughout the Triple Crown doing some analysis for them, and he's going to join us to talk about both the Classic and the Distaff at 8:35 Eastern, maybe take a look at a couple of other divisions as well. And then at 9 o'clock Eastern, Jose Pinchon will join us, and of course he has the exciting three rings going to the post in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and undefeated. But getting a big, big class test in that one.
Yeah, it's the Juvenile. Jeez Louise. You could make a case for a lot of horses in there. And they seem like they're all behind. It seems like there's not as much form as there usually is.
Yeah.
So.
But I think I said three rings. Three Rules, the name of the horse. I keep wanting to say three rings. But
Three Rings was Connie Rings Ranch in California.
Yeah, Three Rules. And Jose Pinchon going to be here to tell us about that. 9 o'clock Eastern. Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup. Well, he has his finger on the pulse of all these divisions. We'll talk to him at 9:25 Eastern time, and then we'll wrap it all up as we go down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainsway in the final segment of the show, right around 9:45 Eastern. John Sadler is going to join us. He, of course, getting set to send out Stellar Wind in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and we'll talk to John later in the program. So an awful lot of things to get to. It's a very busy morning. We'll kick it all off next, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, a five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy, with first crop weanlings already realizing six-figure sums at both Keeneland and Tattersall's in Newmarket. As a racehorse, Point of Entry was a truly great American turf horse, becoming the first since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. A Hall of Fame ride it was. Point of Entry wins the Sword Dancer, and they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry returned the following year to win the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and Grade 1 Manhattan, and also displayed the ability and the pedigree to perform at the highest level on dirt. Point of Entry, standing at Edina Springs in Paris, Kentucky. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Multiple Grade 1 winner First Samurai by Giants Causeway got off to a quick start at stud, siring Grade 1 winners in each of his first three crops. His talented son, Lee, captured the Grade 1 Don Handicap in record time and retired to stud with over $2.3 million in earnings. Sovereign Award winner Stacked Deck captured the Grade 3 Bold Venture Stakes and Grade 2 Kennedy Road Stakes, both just a tick off track record times. First Samurai at Claiborne Farm.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Three rules by three quarters in 1/12 and 3. He's up top by 5 or 6. The Great Collection is flat to the boards from second, then Don't Come Knocking from the back and front loaded. But at the top of the stretch, here's Florida Bred Perfection. Here's Three Rules on a 9-length lead inside the final furlong. Cornelio Velasquez and Three Rules with a ticket to the Breeders' Cup after a stylish victory in the In Reality, wrapped up in 8 and top. Second, the Great Collection, the Don't Come Knocking up third, then front loaded. Followed inside by Sunshine and Shadow, and a time of 1:44 and 3, one tick off Kiss a Native stakes record.
Pete Aiello with the call of the In Reality Stakes at Gulfstream Park back on October 1st, and Three Rules remaining perfect, a perfect 5 for 5 now with that open length victory. And you could make a case that Three Rules is the horse to beat in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Obviously, an easy winner of all 5 races that he has been in, but this a much tougher assignment, obviously. His first graded stakes attempt, although he has beaten open company before, this is a whole new kettle of fish, and he has to go across country to do it. We're going to visit with trainer Jose Pinchin, who trains Three Rules. We'll visit with him at 9 o'clock Eastern time, so stay tuned for that interview. But JT, just one of many storylines surrounding this year's Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Yeah, there's a ton of them, and a lot of deep races this year. So, looking forward, especially the juvenile races. All the juvenile races are exciting, and there's several horses that could come out on top.
Well, we will continue to talk more about the Breeders' Cup throughout this program here this morning, right up until 10 o'clock Eastern time. But in case you're wondering, we are just 189 days, 10 hours, 19 minutes, and 10 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, which will come your way May 6, 2017. You'll hear it exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. But, Jude, the reason I bring up the Derby countdown is the fact that Churchill Downs opens tomorrow, and they open with their Stars of Tomorrow program, a card featuring all two-year-olds, including the inaugural Spendthrift Stallion Stakes, which is, it drew a full field of 14. Congrats to them on the success of this program, but it's a unique structure and really looks like it's going to be a big hit.
Yeah, well, it's a very good race, and $300,000 purse, a bunch of nice horses, and looking forward to that. That's going to be fun.
How do you like the idea, the concept that B. Wayne Hughes has come up with this particular race? I mentioned a different structure. The purse is set up with such a unique approach. They award $150,000 to the owners of the placed horses, with the other $150,000, that's right, it's a $300,000 purse, so the other half being allocated to the breeders of the top four finishers. So the winning breeder is going to get $60,000, the second place will be $40,000, $30,000 for third, and $20,000 for fourth. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great opportunity. It encourages people to breed to their stallions. They have such innovative programs at Spendthrift Farm, and this race is just another feather in their cap. B. Wayne Hughes and his team, very sharp guys.
We're going to visit with B. Wayne Hughes, no doubt, next week at Santa Anita. Again, our coverage beginning Tuesday morning. Now, if you haven't already done so, head over to horseracingradio.net and check out our entire Breeders' Cup Week programming schedule. It is extensive. We're going to bring you coverage leading up to the Breeders' Cup with our Breeders' Cup Countdown morning shows beginning Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 8 o'clock Pacific. We'll be set up at Clocker's Corner Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. All those countdown shows presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns. Then we come back on Friday and Saturday afternoons with that exclusive coverage of the Breeders' Cup. And by the way, the 10th consecutive year that Horse Racing Radio Network has had the privilege of being involved as the exclusive radio home of the Breeders' Cup. And boy, it's been a great marriage. We are so excited to bring it your way again. And you can hear that coverage Friday and Saturday afternoon, all presented by visitbarbados.org. Think back to that first one, JT. 2007 was the first year we broadcast the Breeders' Cup on national radio. It was Monmouth. It was a deluge. It was a day that I know you'll never forget. You're still drying out.
Yeah, my fingers are still wrinkled from that. I've never been the same. But it was a great Breeders' Cup. It was one of my favorite Breeders' Cups, actually. And it was an awesome 2 days of racing. And I have a lot of great memories about that day. But I was soaking wet the Friday. Oh my goodness, the rain was just brutal. And there's a tree in the paddock. There's several trees in the paddock at Monmouth, but there's one in particular that's kind of like an umbrella.
Yeah.
And he's my best friend. And whenever I'm at Monmouth Park, I go over and put my arms around. I become a tree hugger because he really saved me. I was so wet. I got on the press bus after the dirt mile, and that was a great race. And
was that Corinthian?
Corinthian, right? Yeah. Just absolutely blitzed the field that day. Kent DeSormo, I believe, rode him. And so I get on the bus, and I'm just drenched. I mean, literally drenched. And Sandy Hawley and Dan Wazell came and got on the bus after me. And Sandy was kind of teasing me because I look like a wet noodle.
Sure.
We were laughing. And we sat there for about 5 minutes. No other members of the press came out because it was pouring down rain. Nobody wanted to brave the elements. So the bus driver said, okay, I'm just going to take you guys to the hotel. I was so happy. And I got back to the press hotel, and I went upstairs, and I started taking off my clothes and just wringing them out in the tub. And just, I mean, there was so much water. Yeah. It was just unbelievable. And by that time, I was pretty frozen too. So I hopped in the shower and warmed up. I must have been in the shower for like a half hour. I didn't want to get out. I just wanted to stay there and let the warm water run over me. It was crazy. But what a wild day that was. It didn't rain nearly as much the next day. But wow, it was crazy.
Who would have thought 10 years later we would still be talking about being involved as your exclusive home of the Breeders' Cup on radio? And we are, and we're looking forward to all that coverage next week. Again, make sure you tune in beginning Tuesday morning for the Breeders' Cup Countdown, and then all the way through the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic on Saturday evening, and that entire schedule, horseracingradio.net. One other sidebar, actually two quick ones, if people will indulge us, because there are so many new things happening with us and our platform this year at Breeders' Cup. Folks can also tune in to the Breeders' Cup for the first time ever in Spanish with the all-new HRRN en Español, which we launched back at Saratoga in late summer. You can tune in both Friday and Saturday afternoon. Every Breeders' Cup race is going to be available in Spanish. It will be streamed live on our website, hrrnenespanol.com. And you can head over there and check out that entire schedule. Plus, Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Villama, who host that program, also host a Saturday morning talk show all in Spanish, which, of course, you can check out from 10 to 11 Eastern right after we finish up here this morning at hrnenespanol.com.
And our friend Ramon Dominguez,
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer is going to join the boys as per usual. Ramon's become a fixture.
he has been involved with every HRN and Espanol broadcast. He was involved with the Jim Dandy, the Travers, and now the Breeders' Cup. And it is such a delight to have a guy like Hall of Famer Ramon Dominguez involved with that program. And the cool part is, obviously, the whole thing's in Spanish, and Ramon speaks beautiful Spanish. So
outstanding.
To listen really to him on that coverage is, I don't understand half of what he's saying, but
half?
To listen to him.
You're up to half?
Okay. I don't understand 99% of what he's saying. After he gets past hola, I'm kind of screwed. But, you know, it's great to listen to him. And by the way, Jose Arturo, who is like the Larry Colmus of Venezuela, will be making his way to the Breeders' Cup to call every Breeders' Cup race in Spanish on HRN and Espanol. So a lot of star power involved with that coverage.
The Larry Colmus of Venezuela.
How do you like that?
Wow.
It's hard to believe there would actually be a second Larry Colmus somewhere.
Yeah, there's only one.
Thankfully. And he's only one.
North America needs him.
America definitely needs Larry Colmus. And one other sidebar that you can, when you come to the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita, make sure you stop by one of our black and gold HRRN kiosks, which are going to be located right inside each of the admission gates. Pick up a live sports radio. They are free. All you have to do is sign up to win a free trip to Barbados, which, yeah, that's tough to take. And then we'll hand you one of those live sport radios, and you can listen to our coverage both days, anywhere you might be on site at Santa Anita. It's a really, really cool thing we're doing this year. It's new. Make sure you check it out when you head out to the great race place in Arcadia, California. Well, I mentioned Dan Mason coming up in just a little bit. He'll be with us at 8:35 Eastern to talk about the Breeders' Cup World Championships. We're going to preview the Classic and the Distaff. Jude, I threw out the poll question earlier. Which division, which of the 13 races are people most excited about watching or you know, getting a chance to listen to on the radio, so to speak? How about for you? If you had to pick the one race and you said, okay, this is the only Breeders' Cup race I'm going to be able to see, which one is it?
Wow. I would say the Classic. I just love that matchup. I love the three-year-old versus older. I love the 124 Brisnet speed figure against the 107 or 108, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, California Chrome, world-class horse, obviously a great horse. And then, you know, Airgate, he could be a great horse. He might be a great horse. He probably is a great horse.
Yeah.
I think that's a great matchup.
It's good to be Hall of Famer Bob Baffert right now too. Not only does he win the Classic last year with Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, but if he can pull it off this year with a horse like Arrowgate, Bob is going to record an unprecedented third consecutive victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Think about that.
Yeah, that's
how
amazing.
How good is Bob Baffert?
Oh, he's fantastic. He's a great trainer, and you know, he's got several chances. He's got, you know, Dortmund,
yeah,
looks pretty salty in
right.
The mile. He's got
Dirt Mile, yeah.
He's got Dre Fong and Wayne Hughes' horse. So
yeah, Lauren Nelson.
We got you know, big chances there. He's got babies that are all tough. I mean,
yeah. The cupboard, you know, is not bare.
Not bare
for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert.
You know, Richard Mandela. What does he have? Four? Is that the record on the day? I think four Breeders' Cup races.
Or? Yeah, man, oh man, what a day!
Yeah, so
man, oh Mandela.
It could have. it could be a much similar day for Bob Baffert if all the chips fall.
That was the year he sent out what, Pleasantly Perfect, right?
Yeah.
Action This Day,
right?
Trying to remember the
You know
two.
When you I, win I with two. Action this day to start it all out. You know you're going to have a good day, right?
Yeah. So. What kind of chance? There's been some buzz, at least from one of our colleagues, Mr. Stabile, the big A up in New York, about a horse by the name of Frosted for Kieran going in the Classic. What kind of chance do you give him?
Not much. I had an extended conversation with my friend Carlo Campanella, who's known as the Iron Horse to many football bettors. He's a tremendous racing handicapper, but his main business is football, and he sells a lot of football selections at VegasExperts.com. And we had this discussion at length. He thinks that Frosted has a chance if he runs one of those unbelievable races that he ran during the summertime. He gives him a chance.
That racetrack being, I don't know, traditionally, at least we look at that racetrack as being more speed favoring, does that help a horse like Frosted and maybe enhance his chances?
I don't see that it does. I mean, I don't think the racetrack's going to be the factor.
Because Arrowgate's fast, too.
Yeah, and California Chrome's fast,
yeah,
too.
He can be in the mix.
A lot of fast horses. But, yeah. You know, upon further review, when you look at the past performances, you could just see Carlo's point that Frosted, you know, has a couple of races that are pretty solid. So I respect Carlo's opinion, but I really think it's a two. I think Frosted might have been really, really tough in the mile. He would have given Dortmund a run for his money in the mile, but dirt mile. Like, so I don't know. We'll see.
Keen Ice, pull off a shocker.
Keen Ice,
our old friend Keen Ice,
that
back
poor
again.
Horse. I don't know why they keep throwing him to the wolves like that.
No longer with Dale Romans, by the way. You remember he was transferred from the Romans barn, went to Dubai, competed over there, and then came back here at Belmont in the hands of Todd Pletcher. Ended up finishing third that afternoon with Allowance Company back on October 7th. That was his prep locally, anyways, in the States. For the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, how did that work out? The trainer switch. That remains to be seen.
Yeah. Bad juju, as we like to say. It's like changing jockeys, right? It's like you dance with the one that brung you, yeah, right? You go with the jockey that got you there, that knows your horse. I can't stand when trainers make that switch at the last minute and they go for the big name rider because it's a bigger race. And, you know, a guy that's put all that time in or a girl that's put all that time in and knows the horse, knows all the intricacies, knows when to push the button. All of a sudden, they get thrown to the sidelines, and yeah, they put a bigger name rider on. I think that's horrible karma.
Yeah, no, it's. I wrote a whole article about that on that was in the Blood Horse one time about jockey karma and taking riders off. It cost Bobby Frankel the Kentucky Derby, I think. You know, and he actually admitted that to me one day, but I gave him a lot of crap about it. But you know, I just think it's a bad idea, and you know, it's not like Dale Romans is a bad trainer, and that the people sometimes they have a hard time realizing their horse just isn't that good. You know, Keen Ice, yeah. Keen Ice might have beaten American Pharoah, just not that good.
Dale got more out of that horse than any trainer is going to be able to.
Yeah. Right?
Dale did a remarkable job with Keen Ice.
And they should have retired him
right,
the day he beat American Pharoah.
Yeah.
It's easy to say now because we know all that happened. But we knew at the time that Keen Ice was not as good as American Pharoah. So when you have that great accomplishment, when you beat the Triple Crown winner and your horse isn't that good, I say let's sell him to stud and let everybody, you know, have a smile on their face when they go to breed to him.
I agree. His stock was never higher than after he beat American Pharoah in the Travers. I know it's hard to say, okay, well, we just beat the Triple Crown winner. We're going to walk away and retire this horse. You probably can't do it then. But when he came back and didn't perform well in his, you know, next couple of starts, okay, hey, let's pull the plug, and that's it.
You always want to be early. You want to leave something for the next guy.
Yep.
There was a trainer in California, Paul Kuba. He told me that one time. Don't squeeze the lemon dry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go to a break.
You saw me look at you, right? I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because it's time for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by who?
The Godfather.
the Lexus Doral Lexington and the Godfather. You heard him on this show last week. Make sure you stop in and you say hello to the Godfather and all the great folks at the Lexus Doral of Lexington. We're about to talk more Breeders' Cup with Dan Mason right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Shortly before 4 p.m. on October 18, 1952, seven thoroughbreds from around the world answered the call to post for the first ever Laurel International at Laurel Racecourse in suburban Washington, D.C. And there was a solid, noteworthy feel on hand to contend for the top honors. Niederlander from Germany had Obi Skurlock in the irons, and he came into the race as the winner of the German Derby of 1950. Indian Hemp from Canada was the only three-year-old in the race, and was therefore in the receipt of 6 pounds from the others while having the services of the redoubtable Johnny Longden in the irons. Whirlwind, an English invader by Pink Flower out of Saracen by Donatel II, was to be ridden by Emmanuel Mercer. Zucchero, another English invader, piloted by Cheeky Charlie Smith. Rui from America, and the most highly regarded of the three American horses in the field, had the services of Johnny Adams. Greek Ship from the Brookmead stable had Eddie Arcaro up. Palater, the pride of Maryland, was the third American entry. John D. Shapiro, the Laurel president who dreamed of the actuality of the race, was about to see his dream unfold. At the start, which went off without a hitch, Zucchero went to the front, but rider Charlie Smith took him back off the pace, allowing Indian Hemp, the Canadian three-year-old, to go to the front to set the fractions for the first half mile. Johnny Longden, born in Canada and aboard the Canadian Vader, was a noted master at controlling the pace of a race on the front end. And as they went past the half, Greek Ship moved up along the fence to take the lead, and the German champion Niederlander moved with him on the outside to make it a troika up front, dueling for control. Then Greek Ship and Niederlander pulled away from Indian Hemp, and those two were heads apart going to the far turn, matching powerful strides. Greek Ship was the first to give way while the rest of the field began to close ground and bunch up as they swung around the turn in what was rapidly becoming a superb horse race. Zucchero and Will Wynn were moving fastest of all as they came to the top of the stretch, where the cagey Englishman, Emmanuel Mercer, got Will Wynn down along the inside to save ground to get to the front. As they came pounding down the lane, the Hasty House Farms Rui, one of the American entrants, came flying down the middle of the racetrack with a wily veteran Adams putting all his skills to use to get the last possible ounce of run out of his mount. It was too little, too late. Whirlwind crossed the wire, a two-length winner, Rui second, Zucchero third, then came Niederlander, Palaster, Greek Ship, and the fully spent early pace setter Indian Hemp. Arcaro, who rode Greek Ship, said after the race, quote, "No excuses. Those other horses just ran on by me too fast. I'd have given my right arm to win this race, but my mount ran one of his poorest races," unquote. Manny Mercer, the winning rider, was beside himself when he leaped off to hug his mount in the winner's circle. He had ridden a perfect race, keeping his mount off the pace in sixth place in the early going, allowing the early speed to kill each other off, then deftly driving through along the fence, turning for home. During the presentation ceremony, Whirlwind was accorded a huge ovation by the crowd, and that cheering continued on in a great display of international sportsmanship. That October day in 1952 at Laurel in Maryland, and the running of the very first international, indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood? the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere. All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Tapazar is just plain too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay, and Tapazar a sterling performance today.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of Champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler. At stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. Tapazar is currently ranked number 4 on the freshman sire list with two more exciting 2-year-old winners in Japan.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As they come to the top of the stretch, it is Arrowgate and Mike Smith. Oh, they've opened up a five, a six-length lead here with one furlong to run. They've left the field reeling behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are filed behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12. Oh, what a race he ran today. American Freedom was second. Gunrunner was third. And Gift Box was fourth. In a final time of 1 minute 59.36 seconds, the fastest Travers ever, and a new track record.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. That was Larry Colmus with the call of the Travers Stakes back in August at Saratoga. It was a race you heard right here on HRRN. Arrowgate dominating the three-year-olds that afternoon for Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. He won by 13 lengths, and you heard Larry with the final running time, 159 and one-fifth. And Jude, we mentioned this earlier in the program. You and I looked at each other after the race and just were in disbelief at what we saw on the racetrack at Saratoga.
Yeah, it was a dominating performance, totally blitzed the field, and one of the best races I've ever seen.
Arrowgate is going to try to beat the older horses when he squares off with them in the Breeders' Cup Classic come next Saturday. You're going to hear that race exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and boy, is it going to be a good one. If he runs back to that effort in the Travers, California Chrome and everybody else better have their running shoes on, because he's going to take some beating and would give Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert an unprecedented third consecutive victory in the Classic if he could pull it off. Well, Dan Mason, we told you at the top of the show, is with us now, and Dan is the newest member of our HRRN analyst team. He also works in that same capacity for NBC Sports Radio and even handles some play-by-play basketball for CBS Sports Network, so he kind of does it all. And oh, by the way, he is the retired president of CBS Radio, and Dan Mason with us now. Dan, did I leave anything out?
No, I think you captured it. Good Saturday morning to you gentlemen.
Happy to have you on board, my friend. And we're going to talk a little classic. We'll talk a little distaff as well. Both of those races coming up extremely strong. But first of all, let's introduce you to the HRN Nation. You are a Kentucky native. You are a racehorse owner, and this is truly a passion for you.
It is. And I owned a small farm in Maryland, and you know, I've done everything from stand in the winner's circle to muck stalls, and was kidding with some people the other day. I've been stepped on, slobbered on, pushed against the wall by the horses, and you name it, I've done it. So I've got the experience, and I've got the passion, and there's nothing better than being at a racetrack and had the opportunity to win one of the Maryland Million races in 1998, and ran in the Maryland Million this past weekend. We got fourth, but, you know, it was fun just being there. So, had a great time, but I'm looking forward to working with you guys and the rest of the team and hope I can add a little color to everything and starting out with the classic here.
Well, the Maryland Million, such a great event, and, was a fantastic day of racing and Laurel Park, all the great changes. So Maryland racing really looking up.
Well, we had a great day, and you—that's right, Jude. It's the biggest day outside of the Preakness, of course, and at Maryland. And it's, you know, the Maryland breeders come together, and the Maryland horse owners come together, and it's a lot of pageantry, and it's fun. And it's of course it's the Jim McKay. He was named after him for all the years he spent and did for Maryland racing, and you know, it brings Maryland people together, and we get a lot out of it. So, and hopefully I'll be back again next year.
Well, Dan, you mentioned that Breeders' Cup Classic. 14 horses were pre-entered into the Classic earlier this week, and one horse in particular, Highland Reel, is the only horse of those pre-entries that has a second preference, or first preference, I should say, into another race, and that's the Breeders' Cup Turf. Everybody else pointing for this Classic, and it promises to be a good one.
Well, guys, you know, at this point when we're a week out, I kind of look at, and I did the same thing with NBC too, I kind of look at this in a big picture context, trying not to get too much in the weeds on the X's and O's, and hopefully I'll draw into that next weekend when we're closer to the race. But I see at least five or six terrific stories here on the Classic. And I'll start with Chrome. You know, here, this horse has beat the best in the world, and he's the king. And we can talk. I'm going to talk about Arrowgate in just a second, but you got to give Chrome his due. He's the king, and he's a 5-year-old, and he's the biggest money earner in the world right now at $13.9 million. So we can talk about all the other horses in the race, but you got to give the credit. You got to give the devil his due, because he's number one right now. He's sitting at the top of the heap. 24 starts at $13.9 million, and no one else in racing history has done that at that amount of money. He's the leading money earner in the world. Now, you move to Arrowgate, and you know, I heard you guys coming out of the break when you were talking about the Travers, and absolutely that was a stunning performance. It certainly was. And he's running against 3-year-olds. And this will be the first time he's run against older horses. And as a horse owner myself, I used to cringe when my 3-year-old, I loved it when the racing secretary would write for 3-year-olds only. I would just go, ah, that's great. But then I would cringe when I would see the race come down, and my trainer would say, well, you know, we're going to run against older horses. And I'd take a deep breath. I would say, okay. But when they run those 3-year-old and up, I would, you know, and some of my horses certainly weren't up to the magnitude of Arrowgate. I mean, I was in claiming ranks, but sure enough, I would always look at the racing form, and my 3-year-old, just turning 4, I'd see a 6-year-old there, and I'd go, oh, brother. And it was a hard-knocking horse. And Arrowgate, if he goes out there and he does the same performance that he did in the Travers, then this is going to be just one amazing horse. And I'll take my hat off to him at that point, because that would be something else for him to go out there and take on California Chrome and do that same performance. That would be something that we have never seen before. to take on a horse that is the leading money earner in the entire world at $13.9 million. And keep in mind, Arrowgate has only had five starts. So if he does it again, wow, we have just seen history in the making, because that will be something. And, you know, Santa Anita is a speed track, and it could possibly happen. And I can, one bet for sure, I would bet $1,000 if for sure that Arrowgate is going to go to the front. No matter what anybody says, he's going to go to the front. When that gate opens, he's gone. So that's that one. Three more.
You know, Dan, real quick, looking back at Arrowgate for a minute, you mentioned the three-year-old angle, and I was just actually taking a peek. The three-year-olds have held their own in the Breeders' Cup Classic, winning 11 of the previous 32, including the last two runnings with American Pharoah and Bayern. But I want to ask you this question. Who would have thought, with three three-year-olds being entered, Arrowgate, Gunrunner, and Nyquist, the Derby winner, that at this point in the season, we'd be sitting here talking about Arrowgate being the three-year-old to beat in the Classic and not Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist? How interesting is that?
Well, you know, Nyquist is an entirely different story. When I first saw Nyquist come out of the Derby, I thought, man, oh, man, we've got a shot for another Triple Crown winner. And Exaggerator, and, you know, when we got to the Preakness, I said this to Uncle Lino, had the same strategy that Nyquist did. And Nyquist got so frustrated that he couldn't get by Uncle Lino. And I wish he just could have set off the pace some and let Uncle Lino have his way. Because, you know, I use BristNet ratings a lot to look at a race. And Uncle Lino had a five-point advantage in the BristNet ratings at Pimlico. And I thought, oh, that's a pink flag. Because Uncle Lino came out of the two-hole. And sure enough, he went for it. He went for it, and I thought to myself, Nyquist, don't bite. Don't bite for that lead. Lay back. But no, he didn't. Nyquist went after him. And when they got to the far turn outside, Exaggerator just laid back off the pace and blew right by him. And, after that, I don't think Nyquist, he hasn't been the same since then. But maybe the Classic will be a different race. We'll have to wait and see.
There were a couple of others that you were going to touch on there before I took you in that direction with the three-year-olds. What other horses in that Classic really caught your eye? And then we'll take a look at the distaff as well.
Yeah, quickly here. There's a horse I want to bring up, and this is not necessarily about handicapping a race, Mike. I just want to mention it. I want to talk about Melatonin, because this horse is absolutely amazing for what he's been through. He's the one that contracted EPM, and I'm not a vet. I have run a farm, a small farm, but EPM attacks. It's the first word is equine, and the other two words have 20 letters in them. So I'm not going to try to pronounce them, but they attack a horse's central nervous system, and I have read up on that. They're caused by a parasite. And it's a very, very, very difficult disease to control. And there's only about three or four drugs that the FDA has approved to even cure it. And, you know, it's not Banamine, which is a standard farm drug that you get to control anti-inflammation. But it is just amazing that this horse can even be here. He picked it up right after his maiden win, and he was sold to, he changed hands. But this horse must have some heck of a heart. So deep down inside, I'm going to be cheering for him. Can he win? I don't know. But he gets my sympathy vote, because that guy, it would be just like a person who's had a serious disease, pick the disease, and comes back and wins the Olympics. I mean, it's amazing. Kudos to the vet team, whoever brought this horse around. But go back if you get a chance and watch a couple of his races on tape, and you'll be amazed. I did want to mention Found, and maybe you guys can chime in here on this one. I look at the weights that these horses run in Europe at. Found is used to running at 133 pounds. She gets in at 123 if she runs this race. And that's 10 pounds less than what she's ever used to run at. And I think, wow, you know, now at 120, if she's in 126, 125, no big deal. But 10 pounds less You know, that's a lot. And there's only really been one European horse that's ever come over here and won at the distance on the dirt. It was like the 1990, the classic level, I mean. That was back in 1993, and I think the horse went off at 130-1. But that is a lot. It'd be like three people that weighed the same. One person had to carry a 10-pound bowling ball and walk a mile. So, you know, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that, but we all know Aidan O'Brien has always wanted to win a classic. And all of a sudden, this horse found shows up. So I think that's something we have to keep an eye on.
She's a very talented filly. She's never run on the dirt before, and that's going to be the biggest question. You know, she's getting 3 pounds from the older American horses. But it's not so much what you carry as what you carry against the field you're running against. And I don't know. I don't give her much of a chance on the dirt. I mean, she could like it, but her pedigree doesn't really suggest her being a dirt horse. But those guys, every year they take a shot. You got to give them credit for being game. The Coolmore Brain Trust, every year they try to take a shot at the Classic. And one of these years they're going to win it. They've certainly got a nice filly to try with.
Visiting with HRN and NBC Sports analyst Dan Mason here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Dan, very quickly, just about 2 minutes left before we have to get to the break. Let's take a look at that distaff and a contentious field set to go and maybe one of the highlights of the entire Breeders' Cup.
Well, you look at Songbird, and certainly, especially with Santa Anita favoring speed, she's hard to beat. And then, I guess, looking quickly, Mike, at the rest of the field, I love Stellar Wind. I wish I had an opportunity to own a horse like that. She's just amazing, amazing runner. And, of course, we have to look at Beholder. That'll be her last race and a terrific $5 million career. And I'm sure I'm a Chatterbox will be there, too. That would be the four I would focus on. But it's going to be a great race and a great day, and there's so many stories and so much to look at.
Well, Dan, been a pleasure to visit with you. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is indeed the official apparel of horse racing, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. People can embrace their passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. And we look forward to visiting with you more up the road. You'll join us on some of our broadcasts throughout 2017. And enjoy the Breeders' Cup, my friend.
I look forward to working with the team. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jude.
All right, Dan Mason here on HRRN. We're going to get to a quick break. We'll come back and get you set for a very busy second hour. Plenty of Breeders' Cup talk still yet to come here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Bred for greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalusi Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the first crop sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery.
Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna here. If you're in Kentucky and you love wine, you need to experience Lover's Leap Vineyards and Winery in Lawrenceburg. Just a short drive from Lexington, Lover's Leap is one of the oldest and largest vineyards in Kentucky. Stop in for an educational wine tasting or do what I love most. Simply kick back and relax on their wraparound porch while enjoying the view with a glass of their exceptional wine. And I can tell you, their wines are the perfect fit for all of your farm and company parties. So stop by for a visit today. It's Lover's Leap Winery in Lawrenceburg.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff. Back with you here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. We're going to get you set for more Breeders' Cup conversation in the second half of the show with a couple of Breeders' Cup trainers, and Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup will outline that for you momentarily right after we remind you that if you are in the market for an ATV, a trailer, any type of power sport equipment, so to speak, the place you'll want to go to is MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. Now, I recently purchased an ATV and a trailer from MLS Power Sports, and I can tell you firsthand, they have been absolutely spectacular. First of all, the products themselves were great, but the staff at MLS Power Sports is friendly, they're knowledgeable, they'll fill you in on all the details, give you an education if you need one on what you're looking for with those outstanding ATVs that they carry. MLS Power Sports is Kentucky's largest Arctic Cat dealer and Central Kentucky's largest pre-owned off-road dealer. It is truly a great time to get the best deal on your new side-by-side or ATV. So if you're tooling around the farm and you're looking for an easier way to get around, just head out to MLS Power Sports and see Mark and Trish Smith. They will take care of you. MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. My new rhino's been unbelievable on the farm.
You have a rhino farm?
No, I don't have a rhino on the farm. Oh. I bought a rhino, a Yamaha rhino. That's the name of the ATV.
I see.
Right.
I was all excited.
I see how that sounded, though. We haven't started stocking rhinos yet.
When you do, please let me know.
You got Sticky D cracking up over here now. rhinos on the farm. Some great pictures on the trail cam, though.
You need a rhino barn because they're not used to cold weather.
How do you go about raising a rhino?
Very carefully, I don't think. they're not. I don't think they're the world's sweetest animals, rhinos.
You trained horses for 20 years. Maybe you can come train the rhino when I get him on the farm.
That would be fun. I would accept that challenge.
The rhino whisperer.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, busy second half of the program coming up. We're going to kick it off with trainer Jose Pinchin at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Jose, of course, sending out three rules in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's one of the great stories in this year's Breeders' Cup because of the fact that he comes in a perfect 5-4-5, but has never faced this caliber of competition. So a big test for three rules. We'll talk to Jose coming up in a few minutes. Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup will be with us at 9:25 Eastern time, and then we'll wrap it all up as we go down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway and John Sadler, the trainer of Breeders' Cup distaff contender Stellar Wind, will be with us to help us do that. And, you know, I talked to John yesterday, and I called him and asked him to come on the program, and he was, of course, a bit busy when I called him, but one of those guys that always makes time for you, and really looking forward to that visit coming up later in the show.
Yeah, John's a great guy. We've known one another for 37 years, I figured out this morning.
Wow.
So he was Dave Hoffman's assistant the first time I met him at Del Mar, and he's gone on to have a fabulous career.
Yeah, he certainly has had a great career, and looking forward to that in the entire second half of the show. We'll get you set for that one coming up here momentarily. Of course, the Breeders' Cup coming up next week, our coverage kicking off on Tuesday. We're going to pause 10 seconds, station identification. This is HRN.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And California Chrome is threatening to turn this one into a romp. Victor Espinosa hasn't even thought about the stakes. One of the greatest performances you'll ever see. California Chrome in a canter.
It is Sweet Loretta. Pretty City Dance is still coming. And here she comes to the outside. And Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Amis Gizmo in front, but here comes Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
At the eight-pole, Songbird begins to stride away. Karina Bia second, Catherine Sophia laboring back in third. Here she is, folks. Just a magnificent blend of grace and power as she comes to the finish. Songbird, a picture of perfection.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, at least for a little while, for the next hour. Then we're going to head westward to the great race place in Arcadia, California. Jude's hometown, by the way. We'll head out there and get you set for all that Breeders' Cup coverage, which begins on Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, with the first of three consecutive Breeders' Cup countdown shows presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's. Make sure you visit horseracingradio.net. Check out our entire schedule, including that race coverage schedule, which takes you all the way through the Breeders' Cup Classic next Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy week, but a fun week. And the lead-in shows, always my favorite, going to be exciting. You never know who's going to show up.
You're going to be able to check those out on our website, too, with live video streaming. And also going to be available at BreedersCup.com, because they're going to put us on camera this year for that particular program. It's going to be Mike and Mike style, so to speak, where they're going to have a camera crew filming us as we do those countdown shows, and you can actually watch them live.
We need a makeup girl.
We absolutely need a makeup girl. I need hair.
Well, that's a whole other issue.
I might just wear a ball cap. Yeah.
I think maybe I'll get you one of those light caps that they advertise in the Airplane magazine. Maybe you can stimulate your follicles.
Ooh. All right. So anyway, trainer Jose Pinchon is one of the great storylines surrounding this year's Breeders' Cup, as is his horse, Three Rules, the perfect Three Rules, 5 for 5 lifetime. He goes postward in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, gets a class test in that one for sure. But boy, if you look at his previous races, he certainly looks like he's up for the task. And Jose joins us now here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Jose, thanks for taking the time, my friend.
All right.
You know, look, you look at your resume and you see 344 career victories as a trainer, yet to get a graded stakes victory. What a way it would be if you could break through in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
That would be great.
Do you allow yourself to even think about that moment if Three Rules crosses the line first?
No, I haven't. You kind of put it behind you and you're thinking it's just another race. You don't want to get too hyped up.
Well, people are going to say that he's not the caliber of some of the other horses in there because he's been running in South Florida. He hasn't run in a graded stakes yet, but all he does is win and win by big margins. How good is Three Rules?
He's very good. And you must remember, Florida's bred a lot of Breeders' Cup juvenile winners. That filly a couple of years ago for Jack Sorbetta, she was unbeaten filly, and she galloped in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, he's just spectacular the way he draws off all the time. It must be a pleasure to take him over to the races.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What makes him so special, Jose?
Well, he's such a good-natured horse, you know what I mean? He gives himself no trouble. He does whatever you want him to do, you know? He's real good-natured, and he's a sound, big, pretty horse.
It looks like he trains pretty well, too. He's a willing worker.
He's a good doer, yeah. This morning he went 57.
Wow.
I mean, we didn't want him to go that fast, but we got some wind down here and kind of have all the horses a little bit agitated, you know? So he went a little bit fast, but he came out of the work good.
Yeah, has great tactical speed, should be in a good position. So that has to bode well, especially looking at a track like Santa Anita. Have you ever been to Santa Anita, Jose?
Yes, I have.
So you have a little bit of familiarity.
Yeah, but they changed the track from 08, and then they got synthetic, and then they're gone back to dirt now, which I think it's more or less like Gulfstream dirt now, sand.
So what's been the key to getting Three Rules ready for this test in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile? What have you had to do?
Well, I had to keep him healthy, which is the main thing, you know. And keep him healthy and happy, you know. He's just hit us already. So we just keep our fingers crossed now. It's all up to him now.
It was today his last workout before the Breeders' Cup?
His last workout. He ships tomorrow. That's the only thing I didn't like. We got a van to Kentucky, and then we fly from Kentucky to Santa Anita, you know. So that's a little added.
Come on, he can't go direct from Miami or Fort Lauderdale or someplace?
No. We got a van to Lexington. To Louisville. And we fly from Louisville to Santa.
Talking with trainer Jose Pinchon here on the Equine Forum. By the way, recording this interview with Jose on Friday morning. So Three Rules working on Friday morning will ship to California on Saturday morning. And boy, this would be quite a win for Jose and his team if they could pull it off. Jose, when did you first get the sense that this horse was going to be special?
Well, you know, I've got my mirrors on the farm he comes from. And from he was a foal. He was a special foal, you know. He was bigger than the rest of the foals. He was always meant to be a good horse.
So you follow him.
When you see him, he's got presence. You know, I've known him from he was born.
Yeah,
I trained three of his brothers and sisters before, and you know, so I know the family good.
Has the family had similar success?
Well, let's put it this way: I trained two others of them, and both of them won main special. There was a good colt in the lot, which actually won at Gulfstream in the heights of in March. You know, where it's real tough. He did real good, and you know, unfortunately he broke down. But the mare has done good for him. You know, everything she's thrown has been a winner.
Jose,
Nothing like this horse.
I think
they're all small, and this is a big guy.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you mentioned the fact that you saw him as a baby, as a foal, and you know you got to watch him all the way through, and then having experience with training the whole family. Does that maybe give you a little bit of an advantage when you have a horse that you know and you know the family so well?
I don't think so. If the horse can run, he can run. If he can't run, you know. very little you can do, you know what I mean? But he came from the farm, I mean, well recommended. They said this one can run. And the first time we breezed him, he went 34, you know. So we knew he was a cold stone runner the first time out.
That's why he was even money, no doubt, huh? Everybody knew.
I don't think he was even. He was like, yeah, he was probably 3 to 5 or something like that. Yeah, everybody knew. Everybody in the racetrack knew.
He's never not gone favored in a race.
No.
So the Breeders' Cup will probably be the first time, so he's going to be an overlay.
Yeah, well, I think so. He's probably 5-6 to 1, something like that. But this is a horse, if you pass him, you got to turn back and look at him. You know, he's that type of a horse. He's a real big, nice, imposing colt.
when you come into the paddock with him at Santa Anita, Jose, you're going to be in there with names like Pletcher and Baffert and O'Neill and Mott. And you're going to be looking around, and it's going to be your first Breeders' Cup. Tell us a little bit about Jose Pinchon. Where did you get your start, and you know, how did you come to this point in your career?
I'm been training for about 40 years now. I started out in Jamaica. I'm only here 15 years. So we were training in Jamaica for a long time. We did really good. And then I made a transition and moved up here in 2001. Yeah, because I'm here this year, December, 15 years.
Well, the racing in Jamaica is so fantastic, competitive. I've been to Caymanas Park and
yeah,
just really, really love the enthusiasm of the owners and trainers and the crowds.
Yeah.
It's a great sport in Jamaica.
Yes, it is. It is. The people down there love their racing. They love it.
Jose Cornelio Velasquez has been the jockey aboard Three Rules in all five of his lifetime starts. Will he be aboard in the Breeders' Cup, or might you give Rajiv Miraj a leg up now, now that he's
no.
back?
No, Cornelio will be up. He's in Saudi Arabia. He flies back in Wednesday night. He'll ride.
No, that's good. As much as I like Rajiv, I can't believe you're trying to take the guy off that 1-5.
I'm trying to get my man Rajiv. I'm out in the Breeders' Cup.
I admire you.
You know, Rajiv is Jamaican also.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, he told us one time when we had him on the show that his lifelong dream was to win the Red Stripe Derby. And we kind of tease him about that now because he's won so many big races. But he never dreamed that he would come to the United States and do that. Did you ever think you'd be in this position?
You know, there's always a hope. I've had some good horses up here, you know, but we usually sell them before they reach this point.
Yeah.
We had Big City Man. We had a couple of real nice horses, and, you know, we sold them before they reached this point. So this is really nice that the owners didn't sell. They got all the opportunities to sell, and they didn't, you know. So thanks to them.
Well, if he's going to give a leg up to one of his fellow countrymen, which he's not, it's either Rajiv Miraj or Sean Bridgman, right? I think those are your two choices.
Yeah, Sean is Jamaican also.
Well,
And we'll have another Jamaican trainer there too, Baker from New York. I don't know him. I've never met him, but he's got a good horse in the sprint.
Joking, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charlton Baker, yeah, he's great, yes. Great trainer.
Good trainer.
Lots of good horsemen in Jamaica, and we'll be rooting for you. You got me sold on this horse now. I can't wait to see him.
he runs like Usain Bolt, doesn't he?
he's kind of like Bolt, big guy who can run.
Well, Jose, we appreciate the time here this morning, my friend. Safe travels out to California. We head out there this weekend, so we'll look forward to seeing you when we get out there, and we'll shake your hand in person and wish you good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate your calling.
All right. Jose Pinchon with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Fun guy. Of course, a native of Jamaica, as you heard him say, and Three Rules. But, again, to pull off his first graded stakes win in a race like the Breeders' Cup Juvenile would be, I'm sure, a dream come true for Jose and for his entire team, for the ownership group. And I thought it was cool. I didn't realize that Jose had been involved with training the entire family.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that horse, he's a very fast horse, and he wins by open lengths. I mean, who knows where he's going to stop? And I don't think he knows he's a Florida bred. He just gets out there and runs his butt off every time.
Yeah, and he was talking about the other Florida horse that came up undefeated, won the Breeders' Cup. That was Awesome Feather, right?
Yeah. 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 She was a very nice filly.
Yeah, super nice filly. And, you know, in Three Rules, kind of on paper, looks very similar to what we saw with Awesome Feather coming into the Breeders' Cup. And you take a look at the other horses in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile, Jude. Who's going to be the clear-cut favorite? Is it going to be Gormley, who won the Grade 1 front runner back on October 1st at Santa Anita? He defeated Klimt that day, who was the favorite in that race. Might it be Klimt for Bob Baffert? Would it be Classic Empire for Mark Cassie? Who's going to end up being the favorite in that
race?
Well,
you know, I think maybe Klimt will be the favorite because of the Baffert angle, and we left him out of Baffert's litany of possible Breeders' Cup wins. And I think Klimt has a really good shot. Classic Empire is going to get a lot of backing from the Kentucky crowd, and he was so impressive winning the Breeders' Futurity. That was a beautiful race he ran that day, especially in light of the fact that he wheeled and acted like a jackass at Saratoga in the hopeful. So, I think Klimt probably will go favored, although Syndergaard has his legion of followers, and of course the New York people love him. He's a very, very fast horse, but I think, you know, the nice thing about Three Rules is he can sit a little bit. If Syndergaard goes to the front as expected, he can sit right off in a good spot. And I think Jose's horse has a legitimate chance to win. So it's going to be a very good race. It's one of the more competitive races on the card.
Yeah, sensational race always is. And, of course, the winner of that race will automatically be installed as your winter book favorite for the Kentucky Derby. So a lot on the line. And, you know, we've seen now, we had that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Jinx for a long, long time until Street Sense came along, won the Juvenile, and then won the Kentucky Derby. We saw it again last year with Nyquist, who wins the Juvenile, goes back and takes the Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May. So I don't think that you can say that there's any kind of jinx anymore associated with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner.
There's no kind of jinx anyway. Jinx is like in somebody's mind. It's not based in reality.
The goat's not real?
Not real. Definitely not real.
I've heard more about this goat the past couple of weeks.
Ad nauseum, as you like to say.
With the Cubs in the World Series. Yeah. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know. There are certain trends, though, that lead you to believe. I mean, you think about, you know, some of the trends that we see in sports and all these long streaks that never seem to come to an end. And you wonder, is there something? Is there something there? And I guess it's whether you believe in that kind of stuff or not.
The jinx of the Bambino, that didn't work out too well in the end, did it?
No.
No. Okay. So I rest
it
my
worked
case.
For a lot of years.
Well, it's
for us Yankee fans, we were hoping it was still working. But
yeah, well.
Not the case.
Yeah. You know, if the team sucks, they suck. What are you going to do?
All right, well, don't forget, if you missed any portion of this particular broadcast, head over to horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast. You can do that at your leisure. That's horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. And don't forget, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. If you have Spanish-speaking friends, if you want to listen to horse racing coverage in Spanish, well, just head over to hrnnespanol.com and listen to Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma, 10 to 11 Eastern time every Saturday morning. It's Hablando de Hipismo, that's talking racing, by the way, at hrnnespanol.com. It all starts 10 a.m. Eastern time. All right, time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Cool Arrow on target for first Spendthrift. That's right. Brad Grady's Cool Arrow will try for a second straight stakes win when he faces an expected 13 other juveniles in the inaugural running of the $300,000 Spendthrift Stallion Stakes on Sunday. The Spendthrift Stallion Stakes, made possible through a partnership between Churchill and Lexington-based breeding operation Spendthrift Farm, is a 7-furlong sprint exclusively for 2-year-olds sired by any active or non-active Spendthrift stallion. And Fasig Tipton notes some Breeders' Cup ties. Yeah, they do. Pre-entries for the 2016 Breeders' Cup World Championships were announced on October 26th, with several Fasig Tipton November sale connected horses and sale graduates among them. 26 horses cataloged for the Fasig Tipton November sale on November 7th are pre-entered or related to horses pre-entered in the Breeders' Cup. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, you can head over to bloodhorse.com. And don't forget to check out Blood Horse Magazine, the thoroughbred industry's premier weekly publication, celebrating 100 years of covering racing, breeding, news, and more. If you're not reading Blood Horse, don't miss another issue. Sign up today at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup is on deck. He'll join us after our next commercial break. And still to come, trainer John Sadler talking about Breeders' Cup distaff contender, stellar win. It's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic-producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julian Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by exciting Grade 1 winner Dre Fong.
Closing on the outside, then Summer Revolution and Mind Your Biscuits, Dre Fong rolls home in the King's Bishop.
And Castleton Lion stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Mark your calendar for the inaugural Spendthrift Stallion Stakes October 30th at Churchill Downs. Part of Churchill's Stars of Tomorrow program, the $300,000 Spendthrift Stallion Stakes will be contested at 7 furlongs on the main track and is exclusive to any Spendthrift sired two-year-old anywhere in North America, with half of the purse being distributed to the owners of the placed horses and the other half given to the breeders of the first through fourth place finishers. Don't miss the inaugural running of the Spendthrift Stallion Stakes October 30th at Churchill Downs.
Racing fans, Santa Anita will host the Breeders' Cup World Championships for a record ninth time next Friday and Saturday, November 4th and 5th. Don't miss the brilliant undefeated Songbird as she takes on fellow Eclipse Award winners Beholder and Stellar Wind in the $2 million distaff on Friday, as this year's Breeders' Cup Day 1 could be the best in Breeders' Cup history. On Saturday, superstar California Chrome takes on the likes of Traverse Stakes winner Arrogate as they head the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Go to BreedersCup.com and make your reservations now. Santa Anita, proud host of the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Bar of Gold just made that huge move on the turn, and Under the Wire wins the Empire Distaff in hand by about 18 lengths.
Bar of Gold dominated the $250,000 Empire Distaff handicap by a whopping 18 lengths under jockey Joel Rosario this past weekend, making the daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is ranked among the nation's elite sires once again in 2016 by number of Grade 1 winners, graded winners, and black type winners. Bar of Gold earned a career best 109 by her speed figure in her Empire Distaff victory. Medaglia d'Oro has sired more horses earning triple digit buyers than any other sire, including his undefeated champion Songbird, who starts next in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Teppan just off the leader's flank in second top of the stretch. A gap of two more to Tourist, who swings to the outside third. Mashawish is fourth in the center of the course. Grand Arch fifth back toward the inside. And then Impassable. Teppan has taken the lead, coming past the eighth pole. Obviously second, Grand Arch is coming late from third. But Teppan has a five-length margin and deep stretch. It is Teppan with Julian Le Barou. Mondial Least runs late to second. But Teppan has won the Breeders' Cup Mile. Mondial Least second, Grand Arch third. Mashawish was fourth in 1 minute 36 and 3/5 seconds.
That's our colleague Kurt Becker with the call of last year's Breeders' Cup Mile, and it was all Teppan that afternoon, and Mark Cassie hoping it's going to be all Teppan again next Saturday afternoon when she comes back to defend her title in that Breeders' Cup Mile. Teppan, one of 11 former or defending Breeders' Cup champions set to go to the post on Friday and Saturday afternoon at the Great Race Place, and should be a good one. You're going to hear that race and every Breeders' Cup race exclusively with us right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Head on over to BreedersCup.com to learn more about the Breeders' Cup, and head on over to HorseRacingRadio.net to see our entire Breeders' Cup week schedule.
Yes, and a busy one it will be.
Busy one it will be, indeed. Plus the coverage coming your way in Spanish, too. The Spanish broadcast, by the way, Friday and Saturday afternoon on HRN in Espanol, presented by our friends at Gulfstream Park. And the English version of the program, our version, is going to be presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org.
Yeah, and what better place to sponsor?
Wait till you see the cool new banners that I had created for this year's Breeders' Cup. Cool little ocean scene of Barbados down the bottom of those. We're going to have them displayed on our broadcast position on our tent right by the walking ring.
Nice.
You'll love it.
I'm sure
it's going to make you want to go to Barbados. You might just zone out, and I have to keep you from looking at that picture.
Every morning when I wake up, I wish I was in Barbados. Every morning.
Well, it's funny because my wife, the Baroness, has a picture. She actually took the picture that's on the banners, but she has a picture on her laptop. Right as her screensaver, which is another ocean picture that she took when we were in Barbados. And let me tell you, every time I look at it, I just go, I got to go. Yeah. I have to get to Barbados.
Yep.
We'll be there.
Every morning.
Saturday in March, we will be back in Barbados again. Sandy Lane, Barbados Gold Cup.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it. I drank rum last night in honor of it.
All right, we are efforting Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup. Not going to be able to join us here this morning or in just a few minutes.
We'll get him at 9:40.
Okay. All right, Jimmy's going to join us here in just about, 15 minutes or so, which, all right, we'll have 5 minutes or so to spend with Jim.
He's very busy.
He's a very busy man.
Yes.
Well, he is out there covering Breeders' Cup for Breeders' Cup. He does all the press releases and the communications and all that kind of stuff. He's been instrumental in hooking us up with our new setup at Breeders' Cup. So we'll be hearing from Jim coming up in just a little bit. And don't forget that John Sadler, the trainer of Stellar Wind, is set to join us right around 9:47 Eastern time. So looking forward to that visit as well. How about Stellar Wind? Okay, is she getting you the respect that she deserves in that distaff? When you hear the buzz and that's being created, everybody's talking about Beholder and everybody's talking about Songbird. Is Stellar Wind, who beat Beholder twice this year, getting the proper due?
No, she's like Cinderella. You know, nobody, Stellar Wind.
Why is that?
I have no idea because, you know, Beholder is a special filly. She's a very, very special filly. She's beautiful. She's one of the most beautiful fillies that you can imagine.
And Stellar Wind's beaten her twice this year.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree. You know, Stellar Wind has beaten Beholder on the square twice in a row, running 106 and 107 Brisnet speed figures. Very, very legitimate. Those are 4 and 5 points higher than par for this level, which is the highest level you can run at. I have no reason to believe that she won't do it again. I mean, why wouldn't she? And, of course, we'll hear from John Sadler, who's done a magnificent job with this filly. She's run 11 times, 7 wins, 2 seconds, and a third. I mean, ordinarily, Stellar Wind would be the kind of filly that you go, well, this filly, you know, she can't lose the distaff.
Right.
Right? I mean, in most years. But she doesn't seem to get any respect. And she's a daughter of Curlin. She's out of a Malibu Moon Mare. So the pedigree, you can't knock. She was a $86,000 bargain purchase.
Right.
She's banked $1.3 million and more on the way, no doubt. I mean, she's fantastic. You know, Beholder's fantastic. And then, you know, you add Songbird to the mix, and, you know, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
What's a mother to do, as they say?
Well, you know, here's the other thing that I find interesting. I think we touched on this when we covered the Zenyatta Stakes on October 1st when we were there at Santa Anita. That was the day that Stellar Wind beat Beholder. Beholder was virtually flawless at Santa Anita going into that race. She had won 13 of 14 starts at Santa Anita before Stellar Wind beat her. So now she's 13 for 15. Well, Stellar Wind has her own streak going at Santa Anita. She is 4 for 5 at Santa Anita. So they both love the racetrack. And I think you look at that and you say, okay, that's a push. But then you have to give the edge to Stellar Wind, who seems to be maybe in just a little bit better form at this point in her career.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got the age factor there. Beholder 6, right? And Stellar Wind is 4. So maybe it's just a case of, you know, Stellar Wind's running great, but Stellar Wind has a little bit more killer instinct. So, you know, Beholder at 6, she's fantastic. I mean, she's run 106, 107, 106 in her last 3 starts. So she's run pretty much every bit as good. And, you know, Stellar Wind's only beaten her a neck and a half in the last 2 starts. Could there be a reversal? Absolutely. But pretty unlikely.
Well, and then we talked earlier as Dan Mason was joining us in the first half of the program, and I threw out the stat about the 3-year-olds in the Classic when we were talking about Arrowgate and Nyquist and Gunrunner. 3-year-olds in the Classic have won 11 of the previous 32 runnings, including the last 2. So they've done quite well. Not much different in the distaff either. 3-year-olds have held their own in the Breeders' Cup distaff. So for Songbird fans, take credence in this. 10 of 32 former Breeders' Cup distaffs have gone to 3-year-olds.
Yeah, so it's almost identical.
Almost identical.
And you've got, Songbird, if you wanted to knock Songbird on anything, you could knock her on speed figures because she's run 103s in her last 3 starts. And if you look at the last 2 starts, 106, 107 for Stellar Wind, 107, 106 for Beholder. And so Songbird, speed figure-wise, is 4 points behind both of them. But when you think of the fact that nobody's ever looked Songbird in the eye inside the 16th pole, right? And she wins drawn off all the time. How much faster could she run if she had somebody pressing her?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the big question right there. Because I think she's got enough in the tank to run the 106 or 107.
Yep.
So it really basically makes it a 3 filly and mare race.
What about the pace scenario? I mean, we know Songbird's going to be up close, if not on the lead. You look at her last couple, she sat right off of it. Beholder was in front or close to the lead in her last couple. We know she has good early speed. And then you have Stellar Wind, who is not going to be far back either. I mean, she has the potential to be somewhere in that first or maybe even the second flight of horses. So from a pace scenario, who does it favor?
Well,
or does it?
I think Songbird is better when she rates. If you look, and you will appreciate this because you're a big fan of the late pace figures, but if you look at Songbird's late pace figures when she sits behind a horse, they're really, really good. And she ran a 99 last time as she was tracking the pace last time, 99 late pace figure.
Yeah, where she tends to be in the, say, low to mid 80s when she goes to the front.
Right, right. So I think if I was Mike Smith, I wouldn't panic. I wouldn't try to rush up. He won't. He's like the least panicky guy that rides
and
today.
All-time leading rider in the history of the Breeders' Cup in terms of wins.
Right. So, you know, I would think that Songbird has a great pace scenario. I think Stellar Wind has a very good pace scenario too. She can definitely finish, and there's lots of speed. I mean, Beholder's going to be forward lead place, no doubt. Karina Mia goes to the lead. Carolina, if she runs in here, she likes to be close up. I'm a Chatterbox, the same deal. So, you know.
All right, so let me throw this one to you, and we have just a minute or two before we have to get to our next commercial break. Then Jim Gluckson's going to join us from California, and John Sadler coming up here on HRRN. The most likely upsetter, if indeed one of the top 3 who you're talking about does not win this race, what other horse would you look to in the distaff and say, this is one that can upset the apple cart?
Corona del Inca.
Really?
Yes.
You don't hear that name every day.
Well, she's a new face. You know, I don't know that much about her.
The Argentinian.
I know Jeff Siegel put her highly regarded on his list. That's enough for me. You know, she's got a very good record. She's won 4 of 10. Now, granted, she's been running in Palermo and San Ysidro and La Plata. But, you know, she looks like the real deal. She's been working fantastically at San Anita, and probably one of the reasons that Jeff has her so highly rated.
Did you see the time of her last race at 1.25 miles? That was that grade one stake that she ran in Argentina back on May 1st. Now, she hasn't been out since May 1st, which is another question mark. But the time, 1:59.2, and earlier we made a big deal about the fastest traverse by Arrowgate in 1:59.1.
Yeah, well, 1:59.2 at Palermo, that the reason we haven't seen her is she's been laying down ever since.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a very – anytime you run a mile and a quarter, sub 2 minutes.
Is that a true mile and a quarter? It has a star next to it.
It's probably a tad shorter.
Yeah, about mile and a quarter.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably in meters. I would say it's in meters.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's a very good time. She's obviously a nice filly. She worked a mile 141 and 2 on October 17th. She worked 47 and 4 on October 24th. Those are the latest works that I have. But, you know, she's been banging them out every 6 or 7 days and just doing it the right way. So I would say, you know, if you wanted to take an absolute crazy flyer, that would be your horse.
All right, we're going to get to a quick commercial break. We'll come back with your KTA, KTOB Spotlight segment, and then Jim Gluckson will join us right after that, and then John Sadler. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Racing fans, Santa Anita will host the Breeders' Cup World Championships for a record 9th time next Friday and Saturday, November 4th and 5th. Don't miss the brilliant, undefeated Songbird as she takes on fellow Eclipse Award winners Beholder and Stellar Wind in the $2 million distaff on Friday, as this year's Breeders' Cup Day 1 could be the best in Breeders' Cup history. On Saturday, superstar California Chrome takes on the likes of Traverse Stakes winner Arrogate as they head the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Go to BreedersCup.com and make your reservations now. Santa Anita, proud host of the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire to visit there with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by 3.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. Horse pedal just going on to win.
Joy, a world-class sire, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Reaching the top of the Santa Anita stretch, and Stella Wind is on the outside of Beholder. They're together by five lengths to Vale Dory, then Tara's Tango. Beholder and Stella Wind at the 3/16th pole are locked in a fierce struggle by six lengths to Vale Dory. Past the eighth pole, and it's Stella Wind on the outside, and Beholder, an exquisite piece of racing theater. Stella Wind on the outside, just in front. Beholder tries to come back gallantly, but Stella Wind is just in front. A red letter day for Espinosa. Stella Wind has beaten Beholder a neck. They were seven clear of Vale Dory and Tara's Tango.
Stella Wind did indeed defeat Beholder that afternoon in the Zenyatta. She has beaten Beholder two consecutive races, and we're going to visit with trainer John Sadler to talk about Stella Wind coming up in just a few minutes. Jim Gluckson from Breeders' Cup is going to join us live from California momentarily as well, right after we pass along this update and this spotlight from the KTA, KTOB. Well, in 2016, 17,750 mares were bred in Kentucky, representing 53% of all mares bred in North America. Breeding in Kentucky has great advantages, such as infrastructure and facilities, world-class stallions, nutrient-rich land, and the leading sales companies and veterinary hospitals in the world. Now, I tell you every time we talk about this segment that Kentucky bred means quality, and it means quality worldwide. Just this year, Kentucky breds accounted for 100 wins and or placings in European group races. 10 two-year-olds have won group events in Europe this year, and 9 additional two-year-olds placed in group events. Yeah, Kentucky bred means quality and quality bred, so make sure you check out the KTA and the KTOB and start breeding your horses right here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Well, Jim Gluckson is a long way from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. He is in Southern California, where he finds himself at the Great Race Place. He's been there for a few days. Pre-entries for the Breeders' Cup came out earlier this week. 185 horses were pre-entered into the 2016 event, and Jimmy is nice enough to spend a few minutes with us right now here on the Equine Forum. Jim, welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, appreciate you getting up early with us, and look forward to hearing your thoughts on some of these divisions, but let's start with just an overview of what we saw in the pre-entries. Touch on some of the highlights.
I think that what was exciting was seeing Sound. Aidan O'Brien, always a daring venture guy, put Sound into the Breeders' Cup Classic. I think that was a very exciting move. Also, he also pre-entered Highland Reel in the Classic, the King George VI Queen Elizabeth Stakes winner, who also earned a winning urine in the turf for that. He's second choice in the Classic, but I think that was an interesting move to come right out. The fact that we thought California Chrome might scare off a few horses, in fact, we had 14 total pre-entered. Keen Ice, of course, who we know defeated American Pharoah in the Travers last year coming in, was interesting. I think that that was part of it, number one, and number two, some of his very large fields, like the Turf Sprint, the Juvenile that filled this year, are very, very pleased to see. So I think those are some of the things on the top that I thought we would find that was pleasantly surprising.
Yeah, you have a couple of fields that are just absolutely massive. Explain to everybody how that works when entries are drawn.
Well, when the entries are – well, this the hard part, obviously, Jude, came at pre-entries when the fields were ranked in the oversubscribed races. As we know, to try to boil it down quickly, since the Dirt Mile had just exactly 12 pre-entered, the only oversubscribed races were seven 14-horse fields that had to be put together by the racing director's secretary's panel. We take the Breeders' Cup Challenge winners, the automatic qualifiers, and the top point earners from the North American Graded Stakes races during the year until we total seven horses. Then the committee will convene and has to fill out the remaining body of the seven horses to make the field, and, of course, puts the preference order at number 15 on down. So they began work, the panel of racing secretaries, about 7 in the morning Tuesday. They probably got done about 3 p.m. that day. It was quite a lot. It was quite a lot of work that had to be done to put it together. Now we go to the entry phase. And, of course, this is why we do pre-entries. We let horsemen know from all around the world and even, of course, domestically, if they're not going to really have a shot to get in off the preference list, they should not worry about shipping. But, of course, we also keep two eligibles on when we do draw for in case there is a scratch in the main body right up until 8 a.m. Friday, November 4th. So I know that's a bit of a mouthful, but that's kind of the process that we go through here on pre-entry. We give them a look to see if they're going to get in, and then they assess their chances. So it's very, very competitive process.
Jim, even though the Breeders' Cup is contested here in North America every year, it really has become an international event. And you look at the pre-entries, and you see 38 horses coming from overseas. We just touched on the Argentinian filly who's going to be in the distaff. There are horses coming from all over the world, and the Breeders' Cup is really, when you talk about the world championships, that's what we're talking about here.
Well, knowing that I have to handle so many credentials from Japan, I'm very anxious to see the Oval Record in the Filly Mare Turf. There is very, very great interest there. You mentioned South America. The Winning Your In program has helped with this to get the free trip, excuse me, for the free starting berth in a race that certain horses may or may not have a chance to get into. That is a big arrangement. And obviously, the fact that we are paying the travel fees for the horses coming in from overseas is a big plus. And this is a long way to California. I think that is what we try to strive to do. We have Josh Christian, our vice president of racing, who stays in Europe in the spring and summertime and helping recruit horses, which has been a big plus for us to continue to do this. As it is a competitive world, you have races with great purses and interest after the Breeders' Cup in the Far East, in Hong Kong and Japan. So you have to remain very strong and competitively. And along those lines, we did raise the purse of the turf by $1 million to $4 million this year. Of course, the Classic went to $6 million at the same time. So we're a $28 million program over 2 days.
Well, Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup joining us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, we were talking earlier, this is the 10th consecutive year that the Horse Racing Radio Network will be involved as the exclusive radio home of the Breeders' Cup. The first one was in 2007. I can still remember making the trip to Monmouth prior to that Breeders' Cup. You and I doing a walkthrough. It was my first time meeting you. We've been side by side throughout the whole process, and I can't thank you enough for all your help, my friend.
Mike, I think we had a good record after that rain. We didn't have a rainy Breeders' Cup after that. So I think that was a great way to start. Thank you, and appreciate the coverage of you and Jude and your team. It's a tremendous for the fans to connect and hear good racing coverage throughout the year.
Well, Jim, we'll look forward to seeing you when we head out there on Sunday, and we'll let you go get to Santa Anita and do your thing, and we'll talk to you here as soon as we get out there.
Great, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jude. Have a great day.
All right, Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the exclusive provider of the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle and the official apparel of horse racing. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. It is time now to take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainsway.
This is the Road to the Breeders' Cup.
In the race of the year, for horse of the year.
Presented by Gainsway. On the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, one of the stars of this year's Breeders' Cup is Stellar Wind in the distaff. John Sadler, her trainer, joins us right after this word from Gainsway.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapazar's going to keep Royal Trip at bay. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable. And is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. Tapazar is currently ranked number 4 on the freshman sire list, with two more exciting 2-year-old winners in Japan.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Don't forget, all of our exclusive Breeders' Cup coverage kicks off Tuesday morning from Santa Anita Park in Arcadia, California. Head over to horseracingradio.net to see a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule. Well, one person we'll be talking about is trainer John Sadler. He has trained more than 2,300 winners in his career. Yet to get that first Breeders' Cup win, but boy, has he been close. 3 seconds and 6 third-place finishes with his Breeders' Cup starters. Maybe this is the year he breaks through and he sends out Stellar Wind in the Breeders' Cup distaff, trying to knock off all the big hitters, but she herself a big hitter now as well. John, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Is this the year it finally all comes together for the Sadler team?
Well, we hope so. You know, she's doing great, so we're really excited about next week. We're right here on our home court. We're in our comfort zone, so we're very happy with her preparation up to the race. But we're going to need some good luck, that being said, because this is such a good race, and the top horses in this race are so good. The difference can be, you know, losing ground or a break or any little thing, you know, because they're very tight.
Now, wait a minute. That's the politically correct answer from John Sadler, respecting the competition, no doubt. But, John, let's face it. You fit with this group with Stellar Wind. She's knocked off Champion Beholder in each of her last two races. You have to be feeling pretty good. Jude and I were talking earlier. Stellar Wind doesn't seem to be getting half of the respect and half of the credit of a Beholder or even a Songbird who's taking on older horses for the first time.
Yeah, I think that's because, you know, Songbird's undefeated and an undefeated horse has quite an aura around him, and rightfully so. And Beholder has a little more attention because she's so beloved, because she's been a champion for so many years. So, you know, we feel, you know, we've got a great horse. But I also understand the public perception of looking at the race.
Well, I've known you for 37 years, believe it or not, and you're always upbeat about racing and about your horses. But it's gotta get under your craw a little bit that she doesn't get the respect that she deserves. I mean, what a tremendous job you've done with her. Her form's impeccable, and it's gotta be a little irritating, isn't it?
Well, I appreciate that, Jude. I really do. You know, I've been here so long. I really don't kind of worry about that stuff anymore. I just kind of focus on her. She worked really well with her last work. It was like I had her 12-4. So, you know, I Dean Smith or whoever said it, you know, you don't worry about things you can't control. I can control my horse, and she looks great.
John, we were there when she defeated Beholder in that Zenyatta Stakes last time out. We broadcast the race on the network. That was an impressive effort. What have you done with Stellar Wind in the weeks since the Zenyatta to get her ready for this matchup in the distaff?
Pretty much the exact same thing as her last race. I don't want to change a thing. I was thrilled with the spacing because it's 5 weeks. So I really don't have any complaints. You know, I like the spacing 5 weeks for her. I go into it with a relatively fresh horse. It'll be a 4-star of the year. So my focus has just been to keep everything the same. You know, when you get into these big races, sometimes you have a tendency to want to overdo it. And so I've just wanted to keep an even keel. And she's very mellow in the way she lives, and she's quiet in the stall, and she loves her little routine. So we're just trying to keep everything the same.
Yeah, I think maybe part of the reason people don't know her that well, you know, there's always pictures of Richard Mandela plastered all over the internet feeding Beholder peppermints. You don't see much of Stellar Wind ever, you know, on social media. Once in a while, Clocker's Corner or something puts out a picture. I mean, she's a beautiful filly and a lot of talent. She's nice to be around in the morning. What's the deal with that? Why don't people pick up on her?
You know, I think probably a little bit because she's California based. You know, and the plan this year with the Breeders' Cup here at Santa Anita, you know, after we ran second last year, we said, you know, we're going to work backwards from the Breeders' Cup this year. So the first part of the year we were off, and then we've just been disciplined. You know, it's so tempting when you see, like, that small field at Delaware for $1 million. But this has always been our goal, is this race here in our own backyard. So, you know, they'll hear more about her going into next year and further on out. So, you know, I couldn't be happier.
A lot of years she'd be like the overwhelming favorite. I mean, you know, it's so strange how racing works sometimes.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's just a lot of times it's what you get on any given year. And this year you have a monster race. You really have, you know, when you look at, well, you know, the statistical things, it's really fun to look at. I mean, the first three fillies, they have 20 odd races over this track and two losses or so, you know, I mean, or, you know, seven Eclipse Awards amongst them. You know, three pretty much Hall of Fame riders, even though one isn't in, you know, so it's loaded up.
That's a great point. John Sadler with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, earlier you mentioned it could come down to the trip that Stellar Wind gets if she's going to win the Distaff and beat Beholder and everybody else yet again. What type of trip, ideally, if you could write the script, other than being in front at the finish, what type of trip do you envision or would you like to see Stellar Wind work out?
I'd like to see her just have a beat on another horse. I mean, I'd like to see her laying second. I don't care if she's laying second to either one of those other two or somebody from out of town. I just like to see her, you know, in a good spot, you know, with a clear trip. She got shuffled back a little bit, you know, well, a lot in the Kentucky Oaks, you know, but I mean, it's just a good stalking trip I'm going to be happy with, that's for sure. She's developed a style now this year where she should be able to get a good trip. I mean, she's not one-dimensional. You know, she doesn't have to be way back. She doesn't have to be in front. You know, we'll see what the splits are. And this is not to take anything away from the other horses coming in. They're all really nice horses.
Well, John, that's not the only horse you'll send out on Friday afternoon. You also have Accelerate in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile before you send out Stellar Wind. In about a minute or less, tell me a little bit about Accelerate.
He's a nice horse. You know, he was, I sprinted probably one race too long just because of circumstances, you know, and he got a bad post on the inside going short. The minute we sent him two turns, he went easy, and he won so easy breaking his maiden. I said he could run in the El Cajon Stakes. He got a very good number, and he won that. Took him over to Los Al, and he won the stake over there. So he's really undefeated horse around two turns. Just a late, I think these luckies are late developers, but he's coming on well. I think he's probably as good as most of the three-year-olds in this race. You have an overwhelming favorite with Dortmund, who is very deserving. But I think when you look below Dortmund, I think I can run with those horses. That's why I'm in there.
Well, John Sadler, more than 2,300 wins to his credit. He has been rock solid for his entire career. And, John, here's to wishing you all the best in the Breeders' Cup. Really appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to seeing you when we get out there.
Okay, guys. Take care.
All right, and John Sadler, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is indeed going to receive that gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the exclusive provider is Embrace the Race. They're the exclusive provider of the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle and the official apparel of horse racing. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com.
Wear what you love.
Love that slogan.
Yep.
We're going to wear what we love.
We do. We are.
We'll have our Embrace the Race caps, Embrace the Race shirts. We'll have it all.
Embrace the Race ties.
Oh, yes. Embrace the Race ties.
Yeah,
that's right.
Ties are great.
For Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
Colmus may have his Embrace the Race tie on up in the booth for NBC.
I guarantee you he will be wearing his lucky blue Embrace the Race tie.
Yeah.
No question.
Blue, or will he go with salmon? He has a salmon one,
well,
too.
Well, he has 2 days, so he can wear them both.
Oh, that's right. Well, there you go. All right. I want to say some thank yous here before we wrap it up, and then we'll touch on our schedule one more time for you. But some thank yous to all the folks for joining us here today, including Dan Mason, Jose Pinchon, Jim Gluckson, and John Sadler. And one quick note that if you haven't done so and you're in Central Kentucky and you are a wine lover, well, there's only one place to go. That's Lover's Leap, which is located in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, a short drive from Lexington. You can come in for a educational wine tasting or do what I love most and just kick back and relax on their porch with a glass of wine. You can visit them in Lawrenceburg, Lover's Leap Winery, 502-839-1299.
We probably sent a few people to the bottle of wine this morning already.
I have a few bottles in my house. I can't wait to get back down there. Trust me. All right, been a lot of fun, my friend. Breeders' Cup coverage beginning Tuesday morning here on the network, 11 a.m. Eastern. Visit horseracingradio.net for a complete schedule and a podcast of this show and all of our programs.
That's where you get the stuff, horseracingradio.net.
Get all the good stuff there. All right, for our producer, Lee Delapina, for the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Bye week for the black and gold, but who cares? Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.